deadly explosions near a school in the Afghan capital. Kabul killed at least 40 people and wounded dozens of others. Israel is bracing for more protests at the Al-Aqsa Mosque after police wound more than 200 Palestinians. Police in Chad fire tear gas to disperse people protesting a military takeover following the death of the president last month. And welcome live from Tehran. You've tuned to World News. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Unfortunately, we started off on not a good note, turning to Afghanistan, where multiple explosions have targeted a school in the western part of the capital, Kabul. An Interior Ministry official says at least 40 people were killed and dozens of others wounded in the blast. So far, no group has claimed responsibility, but the government blames the Taliban militant group for such attacks. Kabul has been on high alert since Washington announced plans last month to withdraw all U.S. troops by September the 11th. Afghan officials complain that the Taliban have escalated attacks across the country. But despite those ongoing efforts for the Afghan peace negotiations, a new wave of violence has begun across some key areas in Afghanistan. Now, the country's Interior Ministry says hundreds of civilians have either been killed or injured by Taliban assaults since the start of the holy month of Ramadan.
According to Afghanistan's Interior Ministry, nearly 200 civilians were killed and some 400 others were injured following the Taliban's increasing attacks since the beginning of the fasting month of Ramadan.
As the statement says, most of the victims were targeted either by roadside bomb blasts, car bomb attacks, or targeted assaults. This comes as intense fighting is underway between the Afghan National Army and Taliban militants across some key provinces in southern and northern parts of the country.
Meanwhile, top military officials in Kabul say that counterattack operations conducted by Afghan government forces have claimed the lives of nearly 1,000 Taliban militants over the same period.
The resolute and quick response of our brave armed forces defeated Taliban in the battles in key districts, mainly in Kandahar and neighboring Helmand province in southern parts of Afghanistan. This is why they use roadside bombs and car bomb attacks as new tactics to resist. Of course, they will fail.
While the Afghan government and the Taliban are struggling to have the upper hand on the battlefields, local Afghans continue to view the controversial Afghan peace talks as the only possible way for bringing calm and security to their war-ravaged country after years of instability.
Decades-long war in our countries prove that there would be no victory for anybody through militarism. Both sides should forget about war and continue to negotiate as a logical way for ending the misery in our nation.
Recently, U.S. Special Envoy for Afghanistan Zalmay Khalilzad said the Taliban have shown a green light to the Istanbul summit on the Afghanistan peace process. The summit was scheduled for April 24th, but it was postponed after the Taliban refused to attend it amid postponement of the withdrawal of the U.S. troops from Afghanistan. And a peace deal between Washington and the Taliban signed in the Qatari capital, May the 1st, was designated as the deadline for the U.S. troops pullout. Sayed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Well, Israel is bracing for more protests. This after over 200 Palestinians were injured in an attack against worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in occupied East Jerusalem. Al-Quds, an advocacy group, made the call for demonstrations in solidarity with Palestinians. Clashes broke out on Friday night when Israeli forces prevented some Palestinians from entering the mosque compound. Israeli forces fired rubber bullets and stun grenades at the Palestinians who attempted to remove police barricades. Tension has been mounting in occupied East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. Nightly clashes have rocked the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood, where numerous Palestinian families face eviction from homes on land claimed by Israeli settlers. Well, countries around the world have condemned the violence in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, after Israeli forces attacked peaceful worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque. Iran has condemned the violence at the mosque. Tehran has urged immediate international action to to stop what it calls a violation of the most basic human rights. The European Union has also denounced Israeli violence and urged authorities to de-escalate tensions quickly. Russia has expressed deep concern and condemned the attack on peaceful worshippers by Israeli security forces. Jordan also condemned the recent violence as a barbaric attack in Jerusalem. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and the United Arab Emirates have echoed similar sentiments and condemned Tel Aviv's plan to evict Palestinians from their own homes. Now turning to Nigeria, where members of the Islamic movement in Nigeria have marked an International Poets Day with peaceful processions in many cities. Danjuma Abdullahi brings us more from Abuja.
The International Quds Day procession started peacefully immediately after the Friday prayers across Nigeria. In Abuja, members of the Islamic movement marched through some major streets and chanted anti-Israeli slogans. The demonstrators voiced support for the oppressed people of Palestine, saying the Quds Day has many significance.
One of the significance is that the people have been coming out, joining. Whenever people were oppressed, they learn how to come out and challenge oppressors at all costs. And here in Nigeria, we also learn from the Imam Khomeini's call. And here we are today calling for the freedom of the Palestinians, at the same time calling for the freedom of our leader, Sheikh Ibrahim Zakzaki.
Free, free Palestine!
The procession came to an end and most of the protesters dispersed after security forces attacked them with tear gas canisters and live rounds. The Islamic movement says over 100 of its members, including women, were arrested and one person was shot.
The government has no power, no bullet, no military, no police when it comes to Boko Haram, when it comes to kidnappers. But they have every power, they have every prompt response to the Shiites whenever they are demanding for the freedom of either our leader or freedom for Palestine.
Meanwhile, in a statement, the Islamic movement in Nigeria said that terror has never been its mode of operation. The Islamic movement added, its jail leader, Sheikh Ibrahim al-Zazaki, has always believed in peace in all religious activities. The Islamic movement called on the government to release Sheikh Ibrahim al-Zazaki. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
Well, the U.S.-led coalition in Iraq says the Ain al-Assad air base hosting American forces in western Anbar province has come under drone attack. A coalition spokesman said the attack caused no injuries but damage to a hangar. He said investigation is still underway. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the attack. Now, this is the fourth one on a U.S. bases and the second on Ain al-Assad in less than a week. Attacks on U.S. assets in Iraq have increased recently amid growing anti-American sentiments. The anti-U.S. anger grew after Washington assassinated a top Iranian general and a senior Iraqi commander near Baghdad in January of last year. The Iraqi parliament has already passed a resolution calling on the government to end the presence of U.S. forces in the country. Well, the U.S. says sanctions on Iran could only be removed once Tehran returns to compliance with the 2015 nuclear deal known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. The White House press secretary said there have been some progress in the JCPOA revival talks between Iran and some world powers. Jen Psaki said it is a good sign. Negotiations are continuing. Meanwhile, a senior State Department official said no agreement has been reached yet on some issues, adding, quote, nothing is agreed until everything is agreed upon. He also said that there's still a lot of work to do in terms of agreeing on sanctions and nuclear steps, as well as a timetable for their implementation. He added that there is a bucket of the most difficult sanctions that need to be discussed. Tehran says it will return to compliance with the accord only after verifying the removal of all U.S. sanctions imposed, reimposed, and relabeled since the deal. International lawyer Barry Grossman says the U.S. position on the revival of the Iran nuclear deal is entirely incoherent.
The U.S. position is entirely incoherent, and what we see now is that they're back to playing something of a shell game. So no matter what shell you point at on the table as they're being moved around by tricky hands, it comes up empty. But if you were to catch them out in the game, what you'd find under the little walnut shell is a whole range of demands relating to defensive missiles, conventional missiles, and Iran's program for developing missiles, along with issues relating to the recognition of Israel, both matters which they claim that they're not particularly focused on or discussing. But we come back to the basics, and it's really simple. The U.S. says that they're not negotiating and not involved in talks with Iran, yet what we see is when mid to low level officials in the State Department speak publicly about the matter, they make utterances like this, which suggest that there are ongoing discussions about having discussions. And they always make a point of dropping a hook in there that makes it very clear that they're on about renegotiating the entire deal.
Well, Tehran and the remaining parties to the Iran nuclear deal are meeting in Vienna for talks on a possible revival of the accord. Iran has asserted that it rejects any demands that would exceed those stipulated by the deal. Well, the excessive demands of the U.S. may derail the talks from bearing any results altogether.
The remaining signatories to the 2015 Iran nuclear deal have been meeting in the Austrian capital, Vienna, in recent weeks to find a way to salvage the international accord. While few details about the talks have been revealed, Press TV has learned that the U.S. and the European signatories to the deal apparently want the destruction of Iran's new generation centrifuges in return for a temporary suspension of some of the sanctions related to the nuclear deal, officially titled the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. This is while, under the JCPOA, Iran's advanced centrifuges, including IR-4, IR-6, and IR-9s, must be stored away under the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency and not destroyed. Press TV obtained information that shows Iran won't give in to the excessive demands of the Westerners, and also in case of insistence on the part of the other side, the possibility of the JCPOA, and not just the negotiations in Vienna, unraveling altogether will be real.
The Iranians have seen what the Americans and the Europeans have done. They've talked and talked and talked a lot about how they want the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action to succeed, and yet they've done everything in their power to ensure that it won't succeed. The Europeans refuse to permit to trade with Iran in any kind of barter arrangement, even with that INSTEX, that International Exchange Program. So they're simply kowtowing to the Americans, acting as their running dogs, and simply making a big production out of nothing. It's a simple matter to abolish the sanctions and rejoin the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. But, of course, they won't do that, and they want to blame the Iranians for their own failures.
The new demands, meant to impose new nuclear commitments on Iran, have been put forward while the U.S. has not even agreed to remove all the JCPOA-related sanctions, a condition set by Tehran for a possible U.S. return to the nuclear deal.
The JCPOA has been in disarray since May 2018, when the U.S. under former President Donald Trump abandoned the deal and reimposed the anti-Iran sanctions that the JCPOA had lifted. Currently, there are 1,600 sanctions imposed, reimposed, or relabeled against Tehran. Iran has time and again noted it will reverse its remedial scale back of its JCPOA commitments only if all sanctions are removed.
U.S. President Joe Biden has expressed his willingness to reverse Trump's policy regarding the JCPOA and to rejoin the deal. However, his administration has so far refused to take any meaningful action to gain Iran's trust and come back to compliance. External influences may have been a contributing factor. The U.S. president has reportedly met with the head of the Israeli regime's intelligence service, Mossad, in Washington, D.C. last week, and told him his country isn't close to returning to the Iran nuclear deal. Biden reportedly said the United States has a long way to go in talks with Iran before it agrees to return to full compliance, comments that appear to have been assurances to Israel, which is a vehement opponent of the deal. The Mossad chief also reportedly asked Biden not to rejoin the accord without improving it first.
Well, Yossi Cohen, meeting with Jack Sullivan, Biden's national security advisor in Washington, with Biden just happening, mind you, happening to drop by the talks, is a clear indication that it's outside pressure and it's aimed at making inside demands and inside controls on the American government by the Israelis to reject and ditch the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. The Israelis are probably afraid that someone might ask questions about why the JCPOA applies only to Iran and why isn't there not one that applies to Israel, India, and Pakistan, other nuclear states, with a very unstable track record. So I think that it is pressure from the inside, pressure under the table, if not subterranean.
Iran says the ball is in the U.S.'s court to return to the agreement and remove all its sanctions on Tehran, or pursue the failed policy of its predecessor, known as Maximum Pressure Campaign, and push ahead with its hostile policy against the Islamic Republic.
Now more news, turning to Chad, where clashes have erupted between security forces and demonstrators who gathered in the capital, in Jambana, to protest the military takeover following the death of President Idriss Deby last month. Police fired tear gas to disperse protesters who chanted slogans and denounced what they called a monarchy. They want the country to be run by a civilian government. Some demonstrators set French flags on fire in protest against France's backing of the military transition there. The military had already banned the protests. President Deby died last month from wounds sustained during a battle with rebel groups. The transitional military government, led by his son, took over power but promised to hold elections within 18 months. And with that, brings us to the end of this World News edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The Month of God. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam and welcome to the program. We are with you with another episode of the special series for Ramadan. Among the most important effects of the blessed month of Ramadan is the spiritual calm. Fasting, especially in Ramadan, causes calm for a person in two ways. Firstly, it helps him to be patient. A patient person who controls his desires and tries to follow wisdom. Such a person will not give in to difficulties and hardships. Secondly, fasting is a kind of practical remembrance of God, and as the Noble Quran says, God's remembrance is the only source of calm. Fasting is a worship that causes internal joy. There are two kinds of joy, namely material and spiritual. For sure, spiritual joys are more lasting and effective, while material joys are short-lived and sometimes even harmful. There are many rich and even super rich people who are not satisfied with what they have. On the contrary, many poor people may live happily due to the fact that they fulfill their duties toward God and society and try to help other fellow humans. The faithful feel very happy only when they obey God's commands. Those who fast in Ramadan feel a deep joy at the moment of iftar or breaking the fast because they have obeyed what God has commanded. Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, says in this regard, there are two joys for a fasting person, at the time of iftar and when meeting God. Now, let us discuss the injunctions of fasting for a traveler. If a person travels in the month of Ramadan, he cannot fast provided that he travels before the Azan of Zuhr or noon ritual prayer. So, if he travels after the Azan, he cannot break that day's fast and his fast is correct. However, if a person decides to stay for at least 10 days in the destination, his fast is correct too. Dear friends, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, a supplicant without deed is like an archer without a bow. The Prophet means that without doing our duties, it is useless to pray. The Prophet's fifth infallible successor, Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, also says, sometimes a servant asks something from God, and his demand deserves to be fulfilled either immediately or with delay. Then he commits a sin and God orders an angel, do not fulfill his demand and deprive him of fulfillment because he has caused my wrath and deprivation from my grace and nobility. As we see, righteous deed is like a ladder whereby supplication and prayer ascends to the divine court. So, even if this righteous deed is done, a sin may shake the ladder and caused the deed to collapse. On the eve of the 26th of Ramadan, this supplication has been recommended to recite. O dispossessor of the night and the day as two signs, O one who faded the sign of night and made the sign of day bright so that people seek sustenance and your satisfaction in it. O elaborator of everything I detail, O majestic, O granter, O God, O generous, O God, O God, O God, the best names, the loftiest parables, and grandeur and bounties belong to you. I ask you to bless Muhammad and his progeny and place my name on this night among the successful and my spirit with the martyrs and my good deed at the highest point of paradise and my evil deeds forgiven. And I plead to you to grant me certitude which accompanies with my heart and faith, which takes doubts away from me and make me satisfied with what you have distributed for me, and give us good in the world and good in the hereafter, and guard us against the punishment of burning fire, and give me a sustenance on this night your remembrance and your gratitude and enthusiasm toward you, and returning to you and assisting me in what you have assisted Muhammad and progeny of Muhammad. Greetings to him and them.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here today. As you know, this is the month of Ramadan, and we are around the time of the night of ordainment, or Shab-e Qadr, the nights of Qadr. As you know, this is one of the virtues of the month of Ramadan, that the month of Ramadan is a month in which the nights of ordainment, or the Layali al-Qadr, occur. One of the questions which is often asked regarding the Nights of Qadr is the following. Why is it that the Nights of Qadr have not been determined and told to us? In other words, the Night of Qadr is a consensus of opinion that the Night of Qadr, the Night of Ordainment, is only one night in the whole year. This is only one night in the whole year, which is the Night of Ordainment. At the same time, there's a consensus of opinion that this night occurs in the month of Ramadan. However, nobody knows exactly what night this occurs in. So this question is, why has God not told us what this night is? The answer to this question is that God Almighty has kept some things hidden from us for a certain reason. For example, in the Holy Quran there's a reference to the word As-Salatul Wusta, the middle prayer. It's been singled out from amongst the prayers, the five daily prayers. But nobody knows exactly which prayer this is referring to. But for example, out of all of the names of God, one of the names has been singled out and called the greatest name, the Ism-e A'zam. But nobody knows exactly what name this is. Or for example, we know that on the day of Friday, one of the hours of this day is the day in which the prayers of the person are accepted. But we don't know exactly what time this is, what hour this is. Similarly, God Almighty, you know, in a tradition we have, it's been mentioned that the friends of God, the awliya of God, these people are hidden amongst the people. Nobody knows who they are. Or the time and the hour when the last imam, the 12th imam, will reappear, it's also been kept hidden from us. Or the time of when we're going to die, the time of death, this has also been kept hidden from us. All of these things have been kept hidden from us. The night of Qadr has also been kept hidden from us. And the reason, when we look at all of these things that have been kept secret from us, we can understand the reason why. If we knew what the night of Qadr was, exactly, we would only pray on that night. We would worship on that night. We wouldn't worship on other nights. If we knew when we were going to die, we would sin through our lives. Before we died, we would repent, which is not good. Or also, if we knew when the 12th Imam was going to reappear, right, we would live our lives in sin, and we would before he came, we would repent. But when we don't know these things, we are always ready. We're continuously vigilant that the imam could come at any time. Death could come at any time. And similarly, when we don't know exactly when the night of Qadr is, we would be careful every night and worship God every night. This is actually something that, as we mentioned, in a tradition from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He was asked the same question regarding Shab al-Qadr, and he says that the God Almighty has kept us hidden from you, so that you would worship God in all of the nights of Ramadan. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the wisdom behind the secrecy of the night of Qadr. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
What you heard was an IRIB English Radio program. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
French President Emmanuel Macron has echoed the German government's concerns over President Joe Biden's proposed suspension of intellectual property rights for COVID-19 vaccines, as he urges the United States and Britain to instead start exporting doses around the world. Arriving at a European Union summit in Porto in Portugal, the French President Emmanuel Macron expressed his reservations about the White House proposal to waive patents and criticized the lack of exports coming from Anglo-Saxon countries. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist Luke Harding. The piece is titled, Macron Voices Concerns Over COVID Vaccine Patent Waiver. French President Emmanuel Macron has echoed the German government's concerns over Joe Biden's proposed suspension of intellectual property rights for COVID-19 vaccines, as he urges the United States and Britain to instead start exporting doses of vaccine around the world. Arriving at a European Union summit in Porto in Portugal, the French President Emmanuel Macron expressed his reservations about the White House proposal to waive patents and criticized the lack of exports coming from Anglo-Saxon countries. What is the current issue? Macron asked. It is not really about intellectual property rights. Can you give intellectual property to laboratories who do not know how to produce and will not produce tomorrow? The main issue for solidarity is a distribution of doses. Today, the Anglo-Saxons block many of these ingredients and vaccines, Macron said. Today, 100% of the vaccines produced in the United States are for the American market. Neither Britain nor the United States has a formal export ban, but Washington has deployed the Defense Production Act to force manufacturers to fulfill domestic contracts ahead of other orders, whilst the British government's contract with AstraZeneca also prioritizes United Kingdom requirements. A waiver on vaccine patents would allow pharmaceutical companies to make copyright vaccines without fear of legal action by manufacturers such as Pfizer and AstraZeneca. The proposal was aired by Joe Biden's trade representative and advisor, Katherine Tai, on Wednesday. Her claim that the extraordinary circumstances of the COVID-19 pandemic call for extraordinary measures forced a public statement from the European Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, in which von der Leyen said she was open to discussing the issue. speaking in Porto, Portugal, Ursula von der Leyen took a bullish approach in a sign of the frustration felt at the U.S. approach. She said, "We should be open to this discussion, but when we lead this discussion, there needs to be a 360-degree view on it, as we need vaccines now for the world. In the short and the medium term, the intellectual property waiver will not solve the problem, will not bring a single dose of vaccine in the short and medium term." Von der Leyen added, "We invite all those who engage in the debate of waivers of intellectual property rights also to join us to commit to export a large share of vaccines being produced in that region." But within the European Commission, which had only been informed shortly before the announcement of Joe Biden's proposal, and among the European Union's 27 member states, there are serious reservations. Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel had already rejected the US idea, warning that production capacities and the high quality standards, not the patents, is the problem facing the world, and that a waiver would have serious implications. "The protection of intellectual property rights is a source of innovation, and it must remain so in the future," Angela Merkel said on Thursday. BioNTech, a German company, owns a patent on a vaccine jointly developed with the US company Pfizer, which uses the latest mRNA technology. On Friday, the Canadian government said it was also willing to discuss the idea, but emphasized the need to foster entrepreneurial innovation. Canada has actively worked with partners to identify barriers to vaccine access, many of which are unrelated to intellectual property rights, such as supply chain constraints, Canada's Trade Minister Mary Negg said. "Our government firmly believes in the importance of protecting intellectual property and recognizes the integral role that the industry has played in innovating to develop and deliver life-saving COVID-19 vaccines." European Union officials, meanwhile, said they had not yet seen the details of Joe Biden's proposal, but there was no proof on the table that the vaccine patents held by the manufacturers had been restricting supply around the world. The newly appointed Director General of the World Trade Organization, WTO, Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, a Nigerian economist, echoed the sentiment on Friday, adding that while Africa was importing 99% of its vaccines, patents may not be the critical issue. She said the World Trade Organization, WTO, was aiming for a pragmatic solution that assures access to developing countries to deal with vaccine inequity, while at the same time making sure we don't disincentivize research and innovation. There is growing frustration in Brussels and European capitals that the United States is seeking to take the high ground, given that the European Union-based manufacturers have exported 200 million of the doses of the vaccines, whilst the White House has put a block on vaccines leaving its shores. "I would be delighted if the United States shows the same willingness to export vaccines that we in Germany do," Germany's Health Minister Jens Spahn said on Friday. EU leaders are expected to discuss their position on a patent waiver at the weekend summit in Porto, Portugal, with the 27 member states divided on the best way to proceed. A qualified majority will have to be found for a position which the Commission will take into negotiations with the United States and other members of the World Trade Organization. "We have not been given a single example where capacity has been restricted because of the protection of patent or other intellectual property rights," one EU official was quoted as saying. "If that was the case, we already have the instruments that will allow us to react to that question." Officials said the alternative would be for members of the World Trade Organization to apply for compulsory licenses, where a government permits a local manufacturer to produce a product or process without the consent of the patent owner for domestic consumption. Alternatively, a government could apply for compulsory license to export to a country that lacks the manufacturing facilities to provide for its domestic market. urgency now is what is the best pragmatic solution to use manufacturing capacity and produce as many vaccines as possible in the short term, the EU official was quoted as saying.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri wa salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Brother Hasnain Rajab Ali.
All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I begin in His blessed name for granting us this opportunity to continue to reap infinitely in the grace and the mercy of God. Continuing, inshallah, we're going to talk tonight about the mercy of God and seeing the glass is half full. So abstinence, sometimes we feel like, oh, you know, Ramadan, it holds me back from doing things. I end up not being able to be as normal as I usually should be. Well, I'd like us to consider the following, and it's a sincere advice, that what we do in Ramadan should be our normal. And what we do after Ramadan in our lives should be the abnormal. Just advice. You know, if we flip it and say the 11 months that generally should not be my normal. My normal should be Ramadan, the lifestyle that I led in Ramadan. You might say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, let us, for example, spiritually abstain. We may not have to stop drinking and eating, but why can't we consistently abstain spiritually from conducting bad deeds, okay, for indulging in bad deeds? So we say, okay, for the rest of the 11 months of the year, I'm going to be fasting spiritually. That means I'm going to stop backbiting, I'm going to stop fault finding, I'm going to stop cheating and stealing, and I'm going to be much more forgiving and caring, because that's what Ramadan has taught me. Like Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, elegantly stated that prayer begins when it ends. When he was asked, you know, you're praying relatively quickly for a scholar of your stature, and Imam looks at him and says, prayer begins when it ends. And that was deep. It was so profound for me that I couldn't understand it at first. I became dizzy because I thought that was sort of a contradiction. How can prayer begin when it ends? It's a contradiction, it appears to be. But then, subhanAllah, it was a staring at me and telling me that what you just did for 5, 7, 10 minutes was just your business plan. You were just bearing witness with your right hand and putting your hand on the Quran and said, I, Hasanain, am going to do the following, you know, till death do me part. Now, when you let go and you walk away and you sit in that box where you're going to be interrogated, now all that you paid allegiance to is going to pay here, because you're going to be held liable now. This is our life. That as soon as we finish the salam, we should say, okay, I bore witness that my Lord is the master of the universe. Maliki Yawmiddin, God is the master of the day of judgment. Not me, not you, nobody. Maliki Yawmiddin. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You we worship and from you we ask. Okay, then do that. Don't go asking for, you know, bowing and begging from people. Sure, always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, if you go ask somebody for help or whatever, do it within the parameters of the divine. So this way you don't become a slave of anybody. Right? And of course, we say, guide me on the right path, the path of those you've chosen. Okay. Then as soon as Salah is over, let's choose. Who are we following? Are we following those Hollywood stars? Are we following the music industry that's, you know, going to put all kinds of whisperings into our ears that may take us away? Are we following our neighbors and our friends because they are, you know, they seem cooler than me, or they, you know, they seem good in society? No. Sirata al-ladina an'amta alayhim. So Salah, when it's finished, the actual act of prayer is then when we're going to enact. And hopefully the next prayer that comes, our enacting will be even better. And even better, it's almost like you're becoming an expert in this field. For each permutation, we're getting better. So when Ramadan is ending, we should not say, oh, where's the moon? Let's find that moon. I can't wait to celebrate. Celebration is highly, highly recommended in the Quran. Allah even mentions celebration for Eid. He mentions in the Quran. Two celebrations are mentioned in Quran. One is when the Battle of Badr took place. Allah said, celebrate. And when you have abstained from the month of Ramadan from fasting. In other words, you've fasted and abstained from your normal indulgences. Meaning you've done it. You've succeeded. So celebrate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. And therefore, we should celebrate. Eid should be a celebration where we go to our families and our friends, and we go and share. Now, of course, today with the COVID, we cannot, but we can certainly do it online. We can do it with WhatsApp. We can do it with the mobile phones. We can send messages, say, hey, I remember you. Eid Mubarak. You know, Qul amantum bi khair. You know, and so on. I remember you. I prayed for you. That's also very powerful, you know, besides the physical meeting. So let's make and look at the list of people on our WhatsApp or now FaceTime or whatever and say, okay, well, who's the person I haven't messaged for a while? How about I send them a little, you know, Eid Mubarak? Oh, that person I had a fight with. That person doesn't like me. Good. That's the one I'm going to send Eid Mubarak to. That's the one I'm going to say I prayed for you this Ramadan. Do it and watch. The other side may respond in a positive way. They may ignore you. It doesn't matter. Then in time again, you send it again. That's our witness on judgment day. That, oh Allah, you loved me to do silatul rahim. You wanted me to make peace with people and my family. Well, here it is. Even if they didn't accept me, that was my strategy. That's ibadah. So in conclusion to this month of Ramadan, let us not just put away, once the hilal shows up, we're back to our routines and we're back to our old ways. You know, if we've stopped smoking, then maintain that. If we're addicted to something, you know, some people are addicted to coffee in the morning, addicted. Well, you might think, what's wrong with coffee addiction? Well, my advice is don't be addicted with anything. Enjoy the coffee. Enjoy the cappuccino. Enjoy the tea. But don't be addicted to it. No. I've seen people suffer in Ramadan because they're so addicted to something, they can't handle it. That start of Ramadan at the cost of something that we're addicted to makes us start the blessed month on the wrong footing. And then that wrong footing sort of makes us dislike the month. And then what does shaitan do? Whispers into our ears, I can't wait for this month to end so I can go back to my addiction. This is precisely what this month is for, that we should work very hard to say, if I'm addicted to something and I know it's just a physical addiction, then I'm going to teach myself a lesson. I'm going to move away from that. And it's not very difficult. I had a cousin of mine who swore that he would never stop smoking. He used to actually hold two cigarettes just to get into people's nerves, you know. He said, look, I'm smoking twice. And this is just as I've seen people smoke up to 80, 90 years of age and they haven't died. So what's wrong with smoking? No problem. You really think there's nothing wrong with it? But we have to bear in mind that secondhand smoke is actually worse than smoking. So we're harming others when we do this, which is even worse. It's one thing to harm the self. When we harm others, God will hold us liable. But here's the moral of the story in this point. This individual once went to the Museum of Natural History, and he saw a person who had died of emphysema, and their lung was completely a black piece of blob. Okay? The nicotine is, you know, the tar that builds up in the lungs is so overwhelming. It's like glue. You can't touch it. This is the lung that's supposed to be taking in oxygen and, you know, taking out carbon dioxide. You find that this just was completely clogged. This individual saw that, and he says, that's the lung that I have? He said, that's the lung you have. That day he stopped. Now, why did he stop that day? Was it because, wasn't the chemical in his body pulling it? I tell you, when this mind convinces the heart that this is something bad, you'll find that suddenly, naturally, you start to dislike it. And yes, it's easier said than done, and I agree. You know, I'm not claiming that, you know, you can just turn this switch on and boom, you're going to be out of your addiction. No. But I do believe that when somebody makes a sentence or a statement that is harmful to us, or, you know, sort of wakes us up and tells us that this will harm you, and you really believe it will harm you, your body will just naturally gravitate and move away from that. So in the month of Ramadan, Allah is helping us precisely for that.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
People who limit the Quran to worshipping and personal matters haven't understood it. This is a part of a speech delivered on April 14, 2021 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, at the annual Ramadan Quranic meeting. The speech was delivered via video conference with the participation of a number of prominent Quranic reciters.
The education of children and the issue of tranquility and psychological calm are other areas addressed by the Quran. Psychological calm is one of the most important needs of humanity. Allah sent down His tranquility to His Messenger and to the believers, chapter 48, verse 26. This is also related to the settling of internal storms that we face in life. Another area is the recommendation to acquire knowledge and to understand nature. It is He who has produced you from the earth and settled you therein. Chapter 11, verse 61. We should move towards knowledge, wisdom, and the discovery of natural laws and natural truth. The next area that we can cite as an example is our individual behavior. And swell not your cheek for pride at men, nor walk in insolence through the earth. Chapter 31, verse 18. And be moderate in your pace, and lower your voice. Chapter 31, verse 19. All areas of life are attended to by the Quran. Quranic language is not like the language used in human books, where we have chapters with specific issues. In the Quran, Allah the Exalted sometimes conveys a sea of meaning to people with one single word and with a brief statement. If you think carefully about it, if you examine the different aspects of the issue, and if you utilize our human intellects for understanding it, we might find astonishing discoveries in that single word. Another method used by the Quran is that it teaches a point to us while it is narrating a story, short or long, and about prophets or about other people. In the Quran, there are many stories about past generations, and thus, we can learn. For example, this might happen in the conversation between two individuals.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.